What is the chief end of man? This well-known question is the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. With this question, we are asked to examine what our primary purpose is as created by God. The answer given, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, is a simple to learn and yet contains an unmeasurable depth. This question and answer is the first of 107 questions and answers found in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It was first written in 1647 by the Westminster Assembly in London, England. It has since been a treasure of Bible-centered instruction, taught and learned in churches and families throughout the world. While it was originally written for children, it contains rich instruction for everyone, for people of every age and intellect. We hope you will learn much from these lectures on the Westminster Shorter Catechism and that they will be a rich blessing for you.
In our last lesson, we looked at an important part of the fourth commandment. We saw that God has appointed one whole day in seven to be set apart for Him. One whole day in seven is a holy day by God's ordaining. We also saw that since the resurrection of Christ, this day is the first day of the week. Well, in this lesson, we're going to look at how we are supposed to keep this day holy. And remember that all of the commandments show us how to love God. So we can think of this as showing love for God's day. As we keep it holy, we're loving God and honoring Him on this day. In other words, one way that we show our love to God is by keeping this day holy to Him. We have three questions from the Catechism for us in this lesson. First is question 60. It asks, how is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. There's a lot in this question, which we'll cover throughout the lesson. But notice that one thing it's saying is, it's not that we're resting from sin, which some people say, well, that's how we keep the Sabbath, we rest from sin. No. We are, of course, to stop sinning and to put it to death even by the Spirit. The way we honor this day and honor God on this day is by setting aside even lawful things from other days, worldly employments, our jobs and studies and recreations, our play and so on. We set that aside in order to spend the whole time in the public and private exercise of God's worship. Well, the next question, 61, asks, what is forbidden in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required and the profaning the day by idleness or doing that which is in itself sinful or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. And so, as is common to the other commandments, the Catechism tells us what is forbidden: to omit or carelessly perform what God requires, or by profaning the day by idleness or doing what is of itself sinful. And the last question, question 62, what are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing the Sabbath day. Now, we should note that we can't go into every detail throughout or from these questions, but we do hope to cover the main points that are being made so as to help you better understand not only what the Catechism is saying, but what God in the Bible has indicated is His holy will for us. So let's look at three things for this lesson. Firstly, showing love to God in worship on this day. Secondly, showing love for God in service on this day. And thirdly, the good reasons for showing love to God on this day. So firstly, showing love to God in worship on this day. Notice the Catechism says that we sanctify the Sabbath, that is, we keep it holy, we ourselves approach the holy day in a holy way, by a holy resting all that day. This is important because it's not that the day is appointed for our sleep. Sometimes people think that the Sabbath is a day off. Well, it's a day off from our worldly jobs and our recreations, but it's not a day just of rest. It's a day of holy rest, the whole day. What is it we rest from? Catechism says, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days. So our lawful jobs, our lawful callings in this world, our lawful playing and sports and other things that we may be engaged in are set aside. And though they're lawful on other days, we say no to them, so that, as the Catechism says, we may spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. So the main focus of the day is that we are spending time with God to worship Him, both in private, individually, in our secret devotions, private with our families, in family worship, but also public with the assembled people of God. We're focused on this, and this is something we need to emphasize. The Sabbath is stated in a positive way. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's orienting us toward that positive aspect. And so it's telling us to remember, to keep it forward in our minds. But this is a day that is holy, and we're to be engaged in holy things. Well, some of this is explained quite well in a passage from Isaiah, Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. We read there, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Do you see this? There is to be delight in this day, because the day is calling us to delight ourselves in the Lord. We get to say no to everything else, that we may say yes to the Lord. And remember, this is what the Lord's appointed. The Lord has cleared a day for us to be with Him, a whole day. We can say no to our jobs, to our school, to our schoolwork, our homework, to our recreation and play, because we have a far greater calling and privilege. We get to be with God by His ordinances in private and public. It helps correct a dry and outward approach to the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day for us just to go through religious motions, and certainly we're not to do the right things for our own glory. But yet it may be that we're tempted to think, I'm going to fill my day with prayer, with reading, with worship, to listening to sermons, both with my church, and then I'll get and download sermons and listen to them, and I'll read the best books and so on. And yet a person may miss the main point still. In other words, it's not about mere religious diligence and mere religious activity, however right and good. It is about seeking God and communing with Him. And so we do fill our days, as we'll see, with private worship and public worship and meditation and prayer and Christian fellowship, and we're saying no to other things in doing all this, but we're doing it all for a purpose. Even as Isaiah 58 says, we call the Sabbath a delight and delight ourselves in the Lord. We've made a plan, in other words, and we've got a full day before us, not to have a full day, but to have a full day by grace through Christ with God. Notice the commandment is forbidding the omission or careless performance of the duties required. And so it's not just that we're going to fill the day with these things, but we're going to be engaged in them. So it would be sinful not to have these things done, but it would also be sinful to have these things in our day and go about it carelessly. We sit in church and our mind wanders and we don't bring it back. We sit down with the Bible in front of us for our private time with the Lord and we hardly remember anything that's been read. Those things are profaning the day as well. And so it's necessary for us to remember that the Lord's calling us to engage our souls by His grace, through faith in Christ, with the means of grace before us. To omit something is to avoid doing it. To perform something carelessly is to do it, as we might say, half-heartedly. These things, of course, are sinful. And certainly to commit sin itself is always forbidden, and it's forbidden on this day. But also notice, so are our unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. Now, there may be need on the Lord's Day. Perhaps we're with brothers and sisters, and there's need for prayer about things going on at our job or school. We've got an exam coming up later that week, and we say, would you pray for me this week, because I've got an important exam or I've got an important meeting. And that's fine. We're having people pray for us. But it would be wrong to dominate the discussion about all that we've done. Well, I was on vacation. I saw this and I saw that and the other thing. And, you know, there was this thing that I participated in and all these other ways we talk about it. If it's unnecessary for the promotion of God's glory and the edifying of the saints, it ought to be set aside. Well, this is taken, as we've seen, from Isaiah 58. But why is it? Let's remember this. Why is it that we set aside our own thoughts and words and works? Because those things distract us from the main thing. What God is saying is that we are to say no to these lesser things, these unnecessary things, that we may say yes to the best thing. To be clear, the commandment's not demanding that we spend the whole day in the public worship of God, though that is to be a priority. There is, of course, private and family worship to take place. There may be things, of course, that interrupt us gathering as our family during the week. Perhaps there's a responsibility at work or school that makes us have to miss a time of family worship in the morning or evening. But on the Lord's Day, we're protected from those things. God's securing this day that we can say there's nothing apart from God's providence that's going to interfere with these things. And the same is the case with our secret devotion, that God has given us a day protected from other things creeping in so that we can have a full day with Him. What a privilege it is that God has thought of us to do these things. Well, to do that, of course, demands that we prepare. If we're a student, we get our homework done before the Lord's Day. We don't say, well, I'll go to church in the morning, and then I have a few hours, and I'll get some studying done, and then I'll come back to church in the evening, or any other ways. No, the Lord's Day is holy. It's set apart. And so we're diligent all the other 6 days of the week. We're diligent in class, we're diligent with our homework, we're diligent on Saturday. We're doing all of these things throughout the week so that the whole day is a day to give ourselves without distraction to the Lord. And so we're getting those things finished ahead of time. Well, of course, in order to fill the day in this way, we need to be well rested, which means we need to have gone to bed at a decent time and had a good night's sleep, as the Lord provides that. We should think ahead as well, to think, well, you know, are my clothes already ready? Are they presented? Are they laid out? And so we can have those things established ahead of the time. It's interesting, isn't it? The commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. And so we're thinking about it ahead of time. Perhaps we're responsible and we're able eventually to drive a car. We have to drive to church. And so what do? Well, we fill up the tank with gas the day before, so that we have a full tank, so that we can travel there and back. All of these things are being prepared so that the day itself can be full. Let me give you an illustration. You perhaps have been to a wedding before, And there the groom and the bride are standing before this assembly. And there they've made a plan that nothing else is going to interrupt on that day. And so they've been planning it perhaps for weeks or months. And now their day has come. And they're standing there and they're about to exchange vows. And you would be shocked if either the man or woman reached into his or her pocket, pulled out the phone and said, "Hold on, I've got to take care of a few things." It would be astounding were such a thing to happen. Why is that? Because of the nature of what's going on is special. It is to be protected. Well, the same should be true of our approach to the Lord's Day. We're saying no to everything else in order to say yes to God. And so we're diligent to turn off certain things. We're diligent to put away certain things in order that we can focus on the Lord. That's what the day's about, to delight ourselves in the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, what is it to keep it holy? It's to devote ourselves to God, that we would not treat the day as a common day, as the rest of the days are, but that the whole of the day would be given to the Lord in both public and private exercises of God's worship. Well, second, we're to be showing love for God in service on this day. God will certainly have us worship Him. And this is, of course, the priority of the day. Psalmist says that I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. And in some sense, every Lord's Day comes and the believer says, I joyed that this day has come. Another psalm tells us that this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And particularly, interestingly, it's indicating that it is the day that Christ arose. Well, though these things are true, God will not have us ignore the needs that either we have or that others have. God is a merciful God and remembers our frame, and He would also have us remember the needs of others. We would be mistaken to think that we should ignore those who need our help. Notice the Catechism says that, of course, we're to keep these things and abstain from others, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Well, what is a work of necessity? If something's necessary, it must be done. It's not optional. But there are activities that must be done for our earthly continuance in this world to have strength and health. For instance, we need to eat. We need to drink. These things are needed. Someone might argue and say, well, you can go a day without eating, and that's true. There are days of fasting. And yet, this day is a day of rejoicing. And so it's a day where our bodies need strength, which is normally supplied by a regular intake of food and drink, so we eat. So we shouldn't be surprised when Christ and His disciples were walking on the Sabbath day through a field of grain. Mark 2, verse 23 tells us, that it came to pass that He went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and His disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. It was the custom in Israel to leave the edges of fields unharvested so that the poor could grab a handful of grain to eat for their necessary provision. Well, Christ and His disciples were poor. You'll remember Christ said, "The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." Thus, they were not working the fields as farmers. They weren't bringing in a harvest. They were gathering a handful of grain for their necessary food. Well, this is the idea for us today. We don't go to the grocery store on the Lord's Day in order to buy a bunch of food. We don't go to a restaurant in order to force others to work that we can be having our ease. But we do need to eat. And so on the Lord's Day, we don't hesitate to have a meal at home or perhaps at church, if we have a fellowship meal there or at another person's home. It may be necessary to clear a driveway or walkway if snow comes on a Saturday night or Sunday morning. It may be necessary to set up chairs in a room where we meet on the Lord's Day. Now, certainly, these are necessary things. They have to be done if we're going to gather for worship. If it can be done on a different day, it ought to be done on a different day. But if it can't be, well, then we have need to do those things. And so a necessary thing is not necessary for my work, but necessary for my life or for another's life or safety. What are works of mercy? They're related, of course, to works of necessity, but they're focused more on the works showing compassion to those who are in need. I'll give you an illustration. If we were on our way to church on the Lord's Day and we saw someone on the side fall and injure themselves, we wouldn't think in our minds, well, it's the Lord's Day, it's the Sabbath, I'm not going to help them. No, we would go over and see if there's something we could do, perhaps help them up if they were on the ground. Or maybe it was of such a serious way that we would have to then call an ambulance and have them help them. Why is that? Well, the Lord is merciful, and He would have us show mercy. Remember that Christ again and again was willing to heal those who came to Him on the Sabbath day, and He corrected and reproved the Pharisees who were trying to judge Him for doing so. The Sabbath is a day for mercy. This is why we may visit those who are sick at home or those who are shut in and can't make it out to church. So we visit them and pray with them and encourage them or bring them a meal. Or we visit those who are in the hospital on the Sabbath. We're showing mercy. This is also why some jobs are lawful on the Sabbath. We need firefighters and we need doctors. We need policemen because they provide a necessary service to the well-being of people. But most jobs are not necessary. Most jobs are not actually needed for life to continue. Most jobs may take a day off. Why is it then that most don't today? It's because most today do not love God enough to stop all else that they're doing in order to honor God on the day He's set apart. Well, this is reminding us then that we need to remember others and serve them. It's very sad that we see this commandment broken by many who profess Christ. It's common to see people who are going out to eat on the Lord's Day, and Christians might say, well, I'm not working and it's needed that I eat and so on. But they're missing a fundamental point. It is needed that we eat, but we can plan by going to the store on Friday or Saturday and having our meal planned at home or with other Christians on the Lord's Day. You'll also notice that we need to care for those who are under us. So the commandment talks of our children and our servants. And so we need to be careful to care for them. So we're not causing them to have too many things to do on the Lord's Day. There may be necessary chores that have to be done. Perhaps we have chickens and they need to have food given to them, but we aren't doing a lot of work and certainly not necessary work on the Lord's Day, and we're not making others do it either. It does us no good to say, well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath by making others work. No, the Sabbath actually tells us that neither we nor our children nor our servants are to do those things. Well, let's look then third at the good reasons for showing love on this day to the Lord. The commandment directs us to several reasons to keep this day holy and give God our love and enjoy His. Notice the catechism, God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments is challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and is blessing the Sabbath day. Well, God has given us 6 days out of seven. 6 out of 7 for our own employments. In fact, He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And so step back for a moment and think of this. God has given us 6 days to do our work, to have our recreations, to do our studying, everything in 6 days. And He gives us 1 day. He says, none of that, but give yourself to Me. So surely all arguing should stop, for God has given us 6 days for all other things and has required but one for the setting aside of all other things to worship Him. Notice His special propriety. This refers to the commandment, as it says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Notice this, it is His. Just as under the New Testament, it's called the Lord's Day. It's not our day. It's not the church's day. It's His day. And so he's told us what he wants us to do on his day, which is to keep it holy unto him. So remember that as you come to the next Lord's Day, the next Sabbath day, it's his. And so give yourself then to him. But notice also his own example. For 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. What did he do? He rested on the seventh. And so God was patterning for us, much like a wise father patterns behavior for his children. So God was patterning the same for us, that we have a whole 6 days to do our work. But the Lord saw that we needed one day for our spiritual concerns. Well, and lastly, his blessing. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Think of that. This commandment tells us that he's placed a blessing upon this day. And oh, then that we would consider that well and think, if we want God's blessing, then we ought to make a good use, not only filling it full, but by his grace, through faith in Christ, seeking God on this, the Lord's Day. Some may say, this all sounds quite demanding or boring or dull. Well, I imagine it's very possible to make the Sabbath dull and boring. However, the Sabbath itself and its purpose is far from dull or boring. It is a day of great joy, of gladness, a day to enjoy the Lord without distraction. And if you can see it, it's a foretaste of heaven. That lasting day that knows no end, where the focus of every saint will be consumed with God. Every Sabbath day is, as it were, a new whisper, a fresh breeze from heaven. Let me close by giving you some practical helps. If we're going to keep this day holy, notice the following things. First, we need to prepare. Remember the Sabbath day. Chores and laundry, clothes ready, gas in the vehicle, everything should be prepared ahead of time. And what that does is it helps us be ready for the Lord's Day. Perhaps there's a special thing that has to take place on Monday. Get it ready on Saturday. So throughout the Lord's Day, you aren't thinking about Monday coming up. All is ready, so prepare. Second, we need a plan on filling the day. Private devotions and family worship and books to read. We're committed to attending both services of worship, morning and afternoon or evening. This is the main focus, the worship of God. Perhaps we need a 20 to 30 minute nap in order to refresh our bodies, but we keep it, as it were, short so that we can give ourselves to filling the day with his worship. Perhaps we schedule a visit to a nursing home or someone in our congregation who's unable to get out. We're planning to fill the day. But we're not just filling it. We're filling it in order to seek the Lord. You see, if we don't plan to do this, we'll be tempted to look at the day as long. What am I going to do now? What am I supposed to do to fill a day? But if we plan on it, it helps us then say yes to God. When we plan on it, it makes it far easier to say no to distractions and unlawful things. Yet third, we need to be sure that we are focusing on the main thing. We don't just want to fill the day. We don't just want to be busy. We don't just want to be one who is going about, cumbered about with much serving. Rather, we want to fill the day with those things that help us keep the day holy and delight ourselves in God. Our purpose in all of it is to seek the Lord. Oh, see then what a privilege God has given us in giving us the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day. What a wicked sin it is to despise such a day. And oh, how it injures our own souls if we profane this day. Well, once you see the Lord's Day for what it is, you'll see why the Christian is to call the Sabbath a delight and delight himself in God. Well, may it be so to each of us, by God's grace through Jesus Christ.
Thank you for watching this lecture on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We trust you have learned much from the instruction given. Please join us in praying that these lectures will be a rich blessing for people throughout the world.